For most residents, council decisions only really become visible when they start affecting everyday life. Electricity, roads, municipal land, housing, or the services people pay for every month. Over the past 2 weeks, I've attended a special council meeting, the Energy Loss in Durban, that was hosted by KDM, and my first full Kwadukuza council meeting. I also sit on the Municipal Services Portfolio Committee and the Security Panel Subcommittee. And what I'm starting to understand from sitting inside council is that passing a resolution is actually the easy part. The important question is what happens afterwards? Was the report brought back? Did the investigation happen? Was the decision actually implemented? Because when I went through the outstanding matters coming back to council, I found resolutions going all the way back to 2024. So that's what I want to focus on this week. Let's start with electricity. At the special council meeting on the 12th of August, we received the latest report on Kwadukuza's electricity losses. For the financial year ending in June, those losses were almost 26%. The benchmark given in the report is between 6 and 12%. And in money terms, the municipality estimated almost 442 million rand in lost electricity revenue. Then, on the 21st of August, the municipality held an energy loss in Indaba. This wasn't the first one. There has been an Indaba that was held in 2022, and there have been meetings and reports dealing with electricity losses since then. One of the matters that was supposed to come back to full council last Thursday was what happens after this Indaba, because we can't have another meeting, discuss the problem, and then simply move on. What are we actually going to do differently? There were municipalities at the Indaba that have managed to turn the electricity losses around. We need sensible solutions, and we need to draw from places that have actually managed to do it. I also think we need to look properly at why these losses have continued at this level for so long, when almost 442 million in estimated revenue has been lost. I want to know whether there are people who benefit from parts of the system remaining inefficient. I'm not accusing anybody. I think it's something that needs to be investigated properly, and we need to come back and see whether the loss figure actually starts coming down. And the second example is Sharkerville. Now, municipal land, roughly the size of two rugby fields, had previously been approved for sale to Jan Roy Clothing for 430,000 rand. Now, with that size and that amount, 430,000, it equates to about 35 rand per square meter. Now, when the matter came back to council, the report showed that the land formed part of the Sharkerville Integrated Housing Project. It also showed that the Human Settlements Unit had not been consulted during the original disposal process. Council rescinded the sale, but for me, that couldn't be the end of it. Rescinding the decision tells us what happened to the sale. It doesn't tell us how the original decision happened. How did municipal land intended for housing get that far through the process without human settlements being consulted? Now, who was responsible for pushing this ahead? Were the correct processes followed? I asked for a further investigation, and the acting municipal manager and the manager and the full council agreed that the matter need to be investigated. So now the question is, what happens to that investigation? Does it happen? What does it find? And if something went wrong, what happens as a result? That's what I will be following on. And then we came to the actual oversight meetings. I sit on the Municipal Services Portfolio Committee. My first meeting of that committee was supposed to take place on the 20th of August. There was a substantial agenda covering sewage infrastructure, beaches, municipal facilities, the Belita taxi rank, waste management, marine safety, disaster management, and other municipal services. And as you can see, very, very important portfolio. The meeting couldn't proceed because there was no quorum. It was rescheduled online the following week. There are 10 councillors on the committee, and 19 officials were listed for the meeting. People appeared to be logged in, but when the chairperson called on people to confirm that they were actually present and participating, only three of us responded. So once again, the committee couldn't proceed, and that's where the effect becomes quite practical. We couldn't question the reports. We couldn't ask officials for explanations. We couldn't establish what has been completed and what is still outstanding. I also sit on the Security Panel subcommittee, which was due to meet immediately afterwards. That meeting was deferred as well. I had questions from the July security report that I wanted answered, including expenditure on ad hoc security and the approximately 400,000 rand being spent on 8 land invasion officers and 2 vehicles. Those questions still need to be asked. Then we came to Thursday's full council meeting. During the meeting, councillors started leaving the chamber. Eventually, it was pointed out that council no longer had a quorum and the speaker had to end the meeting before we had completed the agenda. This is where all this starts joining up, because council already has an outstanding matters register. Some of these matters go back to 2024. These aren't simply old items sitting in a filing system. They're matters where council has already said something must happen on dates back to November 2024 and concerns the Municipal Disaster Reconstruction and Rehabilitation Grant. Council asked for project inspections and further information on savings and accumulated interest. It is still being carried forward. Then there's a municipal infrastructure grant. Kwadukuza had about 20.8 million rand in grant funding withdrawn after it failed to spend at the required rate. Council consequently called for an investigation, but the information coming back to council says the administration could not establish documentary evidence that the matter was formally referred for that investigation. So did the investigation council asked for actually happen? If not, why not? Now, this is exactly what I mean by following a resolution after it has been passed. There are other outstanding matters as well, including the close protection officer policy, contract management and security matters. And now that's all to do with the bodyguarding, something that I've been following very closely and have reported on consistently for a number of years. And we're now approaching the end of this council term. A new council coming in won't necessarily know the history behind a resolution taken in 2024. They don't have the history. So I think we need to establish very clearly what has been completed, what remains outstanding and why. There's also one land matter that did come through council, and I think it's worth mentioning because it shows what the follow-up can look like. It involved Hyde Park and Flux Spray. Those were municipalities spent approximately 114 million rand buying these properties more than a decade ago for human settlements. There were farms, Hyde Park and Flux Spray Farm. Now, there's a reason for considering leases on vacant municipal land, including protecting it against illegal occupation. But what was on the agenda is leasing these two farms for an extension of possibly 5 years. Now, the question I raised was, what happens to the original purpose of that land? Why are we still talking about leasing properties bought for human settlements more than a decade later? And more broadly, what has happened to the land the municipality has bought over all these years? Why did we buy it? Why did we pay such a substantial amount of money? And it was intended for housing. Why hasn't it been formalized? And if it has been leased, what rental has actually been received and where has that rental gone in the last couple decade or so? I asked for proper land audit going back over that period, and I also requested that every piece of land or farm that the municipality has bought be actually audited and then a report be put together. The acting municipal manager agreed that it should be done. So now again, the important part is what happens next. I want to see that audit when it comes back. And there's one final matter I want to clarify briefly, because quite a lot was said publicly after Thursday's meeting about the acting municipal manager. The substantive municipal manager remains suspended. So Kwadukuza has been operating with an acting municipal manager. The acting appointment has already gone through an initial 3 months and a further 3 month extension. And the discussion was about continuity for another 2 months as this council approaches the end of its term. And obviously some of the argument was, why bring in someone new now when we just extend it for further 2 months, just in terms of continuity? Now, that discussion, during that discussion was pointed out that council couldn't simply extend the appointment again in the way it was being proposed, as obviously the statutory process has to be followed. And obviously, there were a few items that became in committee, so we can't disclose the details. But I do feel politicians have a remarkable ability to make themselves the hero of every story. But most of the time, they're not the story. The decision is the story. The money is the story. And what happens afterwards is the story. And that really sums up these past 2 weeks. There is, if there is no municipal manager, the COO becomes the interim municipal manager. So there is no there's no crisis right now in the municipality as it is. You know, there's a massive transition that's going to be happening. So I do feel that sometimes a story does get expanded because obviously there is a political agenda behind these press statements that a lot of the parties do release when they need to. And that really sums up these past 2 weeks. Almost 442 million in estimated electricity revenue losses. What happens after the Indaba? That's very important. The Sharkeville land sale was rescinded. What happens to the investigation? We have to see the report before the term's up to see who instigated this and why was it allowed. And a land audit has been agreed to. Does it come back? And municipal services and security couldn't get through their work. When do these questions get answered? And council has resolutions going back to 2024 that are still outstanding. Those have to be tackled before November. Those are the things I'll be following, because transparency isn't simply about being able to see a council agenda. It's about being able to see what happens after council made the decision. And we have to keep demanding accountability, because without accountability, there is really no point in having all these resolutions and all this documented, but nothing gets followed through. So I will be keeping my eye on the ball in the next 2 months. There's going to be a lot of work that needs to be done, and I will be taking you with me on that. I'm Penny Faree, and this is Uncensored Inside Council.
When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security. As the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring, with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 50 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.